Thank you, Pastor. If you have your Bibles at home, if you turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. 1 Samuel, chapter 30. 1 Samuel is right before 2 Samuel, if that helps you at home. And I'm not discouraged at all. Our crowd's a little down tonight. Normally on Wednesday night, we have maybe three or four people with got the crew that's doing the live stream and a few other people, but as far as in the chairs in front of me, there's just Pastor. So I'm really going to let him have it tonight, and you can listen in as we talk from 1 Samuel 30. Been doing a series of messages, kind of trying to bring encouragement about, you know, being in the situation we're in right now, just about trusting the Lord and being content. Last week we talked about how Ahaz, when the stress came in his life, he didn't really look to the Lord to help him. He tried other things and turned his back on God, and how that didn't work out. And tonight we're going to do one more lesson. And next week, if we're continuing on with this, I'll get into another series or something. But if you'd like to write a title down, our title tonight is Lessons We Can Learn from David in the Midst of the Coronavirus, COVID-19 Pandemic, Economic Distress, and Unemployment Crisis. Now, if that's too much, you can write the word Ziklag. Ziklag, Z-I-K-L-A-G. Ziklag was a town, a city, and we're going to look at it today and what happened there. Well, let's read the text first, and then we'll say a few words of introduction and get into our lesson tonight. In verse 6, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." David had an interesting life. You remember Saul kind of turned his back on what he should be doing as king, and God said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from him. And he sent Samuel to a place where a man named Jesse lived. He had a number of sons, and so he looked at them all and said, "There's none of these are the ones God wants. Has he got any more?" And of course, David was out tending the sheep, and when Samuel saw him, he said, "He's the one." He anointed him and basically said, you will be king. Did become king right then. He said, "You're going to be the king." And so David's life went on. He did a lot of things. Remember his great victory over Goliath. And soon he became to be kind of popular in the kingdom as he fought and did different things. And Saul started eyeing how much the people really loved David. And he got jealous of him. And eventually to the point that he was going to try to kill David. So David had to flee. And he fled and ran. And he actually had some people, some followers go with him, David's men, the mighty men, the Bible calls them. And they did a lot of exploits. God preserved David many times. And in fact, something else that happened while David was running, there was a couple times where he could have killed Saul or had him killed. And he could have become king. But David didn't do that. He didn't take matters into his own hands. He said that Saul was God's anointed, and you know God was going to have to take care of that. He wasn't going to do that, and that was a good thing. And so while he was still, in a sense, fleeing, he was fighting and doing things. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, while he and his men were gone, their families and really their possessions were in a place called Ziklag. And if you look in chapter 30, verse 1, it said, "It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein. And they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Down in verse 6, our text verse, and David was greatly distressed. He was greatly distressed. That's an interesting phrase. I don't think it was just a matter of one of the big things. What probably distressed him was the people spake of stoning him. basically throwing rocks at him till he died. That would not be very pleasant. That would cause you some distress. I think it probably bothered him that here these loyal followers that had been following him when they didn't have to, but they loved David and they were following him and fighting with him and for him, they kind of turned their back against him. Said, well, he needs to die for what's happened here. He had lost all his possessions. Either they got burned up or they got taken away. His family, probably his wife and children, are they alive or dead? At the very least, they're taken captive. So he lost them. I think probably at this time in his life, he was probably very tired, very exhausted from all the fighting and fleeing and everything he had to do. And so it would be very easy to become overwhelmed. And so the verse says he was greatly distressed. Now, we're in this time of the pandemic, and maybe some of you out there are feeling that way, just greatly distressed. And there's a number of reasons you could feel that way. Just, you know, the fear of what's going to happen, the fear of the unknown. Maybe you or someone you know are sick. Maybe you've lost your job. Something that would cause you great distress. And tonight we're just going to look at what he did. What did David do when he had this great, and I think it was not just that they were talking about stoning him. It's just all these things kind of just overwhelming him in his life. What did he do? Well, he did something. So what can we do? We can do something too. And what David did, it says in that verse, verse 6, it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, David wasn't like, he was a special person mentioned many places in Scripture. And of course, God promised that the Messiah would be a descendant of David and that a descendant of David would sit on the throne of Israel. He was special in that way, but he was just a man just like you and I. And if David could do this, we can do this. If what David did to help encourage himself in this time of great distress, we can do the same things. So the question comes, how do you do that? What did he do that? How did he do that? And we're just going to look at three things tonight, and I hope they'll be a help to you. Some of these things are maybe things you've forgotten or maybe you hadn't thought about because the pressure, the stress is so great. But it worked for David. It will work for you. It'll work for me. And so David was greatly distressed what he did. Number one, this is the first thing he did. I believe he recalled God's promises. I believe that he recalled God's promises. Now, God made a number of promises to David, and I think David rehearsed those in his mind. By the way, where do you find the things that God does promise? Well, of course, it's in his word, the Bible. But here's some things I just want you to think about tonight. Here's something that you ought to recall. You're in distress. It's tough times. Here's the first thing, that you can be saved and know it. You can be saved and know it. I know that at times in my life, maybe more when I was like in college, sometimes I would get discouraged about something and it would bother me a little bit. And then I would stop and think it would encourage me in such a great way. I said, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know if I die, I'm going to heaven. And you can be saved and know it. The Bible calls that, or the idea, the theologians would call that, the assurance of salvation. You can be saved and know it. 1 John 5:13 says this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know you have it. You don't have to hope or guess, but you can know. And how can you know? Because you recall and you remember the promise that Jesus made to us. John chapter 6, verse 47, verily, verily, which basically means truly, truly. Christ was emphasizing the truth of this, what he was about to say. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, H-A-T-H, everlasting life. Hath means possesses right now. That is the promise of God. If you would believe on the Son, that you put your trust, your faith in Christ as your only hope for heaven, the promise of God is that you have everlasting life. I could not promise you that, but God did. It's interesting, back in 1 John, I'm going to refer to a lot of verses. I might turn really quickly just because of our time. But in 1 John chapter 5, I love verse 9. It says, if we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. Yeah, we believe things men say all the time. If this coronavirus thing, there's so many people saying so many things about it. And sometimes it's correct. Sometimes it's incorrect. Sometimes they're telling the truth. Sometimes they're not telling the truth. And maybe they're doing the best they can. And so if you look to people, that can be very discouraging because they can't always keep their promises. But if you look to God, he always keeps his promises. He always keeps them. And so verse 9 says, we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. And I love verse 11, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So he said, this is the record. What is the record? What God promises in his word. Let me tell you, if you become discouraged in this situation, just think about, if I've trusted Christ my Savior, I have eternal life. No matter what may happen, what my situation may be, whether it's physical or financial, and it's a struggle, I'm saved and I know it. What great comfort that brings. What great comfort that brings. And so, do you know you have eternal life? You know, God says, if you believe, he gives you everlasting life. And do you know it? And if you do that, if you just simply take God as promise, you recall that promise he made. Whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but hath everlasting life. Something very similar to it, but it's actually different, is not only can you be saved and know it, you cannot lose it. That's called eternal security. That's different than assurance. Assurance is I know I have eternal life. Eternal security is I cannot lose it. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, anybody that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. All the Father gives me, I will lose nothing. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So you cannot lose it. Even if you're a bonehead, a knucklehead. Last week we talked about how Ahaz, when the stress came, how he really made some poor decisions. Maybe even in the midst of this, you've made some poor decisions as far as what might be right and what may please the Lord. You know, the good news is if you have salvation, you cannot lose it, because we don't keep ourselves. God keeps us. We're kept by the power of God, the Bible says. So in this time of distress, what David, he probably recalled or thought about things like this. I'm saved and I know it. And I can't lose it. And that's a big help in this time of distress. I also like Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 has a very interesting verse in it. Touches a little bit on what we touched about being content a few weeks ago. But in Hebrews 13 verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Be content. Be content in the midst of this coronavirus thing, because there's something very important. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, in the midst of this, you know, something you need to recall, God's not forsaken you. Maybe coronavirus has touched your family, either you personally or someone you know or someone in your family. Just because you got coronavirus doesn't mean God's forsaken. He said he'll never leave thee or forsake thee. Maybe you've lost your job. God hasn't forsaken you. You ought to recall that. Think about that. Man, this feels terrible. I'm so worried about what's going on. Hey, God has not forsaken you. He hasn't left you. What a wonderful thing to think about. You know, I'm having a tough time there, but God's here, right here with me. He hasn't forsaken me because he promised not to. And kind of along those lines, God will provide. God will provide for you. My God shall supply all your need. Isn't that what Philippians 4:19 tells us? He will provide what we need to make it through this, what we need to live. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What things shall be added? Well, if you look in the context, it's talking about things that God does for the birds and the flowers. He provides what they need to eat, what they need to wear, and he'll do that for us. If you do have your Bible open at home, I just want you to look over Psalms 37. Psalms 37, of course, it's kind of right in the middle of your Bible. Just a tremendous verse, Psalms 37. In Psalms 37, in verse 25, it says this. It says, "I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." The very two things we just talked about, the things that we can call to memory, that God says he'll never forsake us, he'll never leave us, and he will provide for us. Exactly what this verse is saying. "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." You know, if you're, and the sound of my voice, and you're a senior adult, you probably could speak to the truth of this verse by experience, that you're not young anymore. You've lived a long life. You're old now. And if you look back on life, you see how God has kept you alive. He's provided for you. You've always had something to eat. You always had what you need. He's given you grace in your life. And you were young, and now you're old, and never seen God forsake one of his children, never seen his children begging bread in the sense of not giving God giving them what they need to live. You know, we've never seen God do that. We've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. And you know the wonderful truth? We never will. I don't know what's happening in your life right now in this situation, but God's not going to forsake you. He'll provide for you. In fact, the Bible says something else for us to recall and think about. He will give grace. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul had a physical affliction that he asked God to take away. God didn't do that, but God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." You know, you get in a tough time and you're greatly distressed over what's going on. You say, "God, you promised grace and that your grace would help me. I need grace. Give me grace." If you want to heal, you want to give me a new job, that's wonderful. Please do that. But if you don't do any of those things, you said you'd give me grace. and if we got grace, that is sufficient to help us through this time. And I believe David probably was looking to God's grace. When all that happened to him, they said they cried till they could cry no more. It's just a terrible time, a very emotional time. And then the people said, "We're going to stone you to death." And he was greatly distressed, but God gave him grace, and he promises grace for us. In James chapter 1, there's one more thing that I want to mention that we ought to recall as far as a promise. God promised to give us wisdom. "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not." If you're in this situation right now, you know what to do all the time. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to know what to do. But God says if you'll ask for wisdom, he'll give it. He's not going to make fun of you. He's going to give you the wisdom you need. Now, that doesn't mean, "God, I don't know what to do about this." He's not going to call you on the phone. He's not going to send a telegram to your door. But he's going to use his word. That's one way we can get wisdom, through his word, through the Holy Spirit teaching us, Holy Spirit convicting us and leading us. He might use godly Christians to help us and encourage us. And he'll give us wisdom we need when we don't know what to do. "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." If you're distressed right now and you don't know what to do, have you asked God? Have you asked God for the wisdom you need to do the right things and say the right things and be the right kind of person, even when the distress is in your life? So what did David do to encourage himself? Number one, he recalled God's promises. Number two, he prayed. If you have your Bible, I hope you keep your finger there in 1 Samuel 30. It says in the end of verse 6, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And David brought, and Abiathar brought hither the ephod. And David inquired at the Lord. In other words, he was praying, Lord, what am I going to do? We just had said about, we need wisdom. Ask God. That's what David, he was praying and asking God, what should he do? And he said, shall I pursue after this troop? Well, shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So he prayed. He prayed. It's interesting. I love Psalms 18. Let me just read a verse for you. I would quote it, but my mind just went blank. A constant problem. Here's a Psalm of David. Psalms 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And he heard my voice out of the temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. So David, when he had distress in his life, and he was greatly distressed, he cried unto the Lord. He prayed. He called on the Lord to help. You know, a very familiar phrase out of the book of James is, we have not because we ask not. You know, God, give me grace. God, please give me wisdom. God, thank you so much that I have salvation, and I can know I have it, and I can't lose it. You promised to provide what I need and what my family need. And call on him. Cast your cares on him. That's what 1 Peter 5:8 says, doesn't it? Casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. Have you cast your cares on the Lord? There's a game called hot potato. Now in modern times, they have like a thing that looks like potato, and you wind it up and you toss it around. You don't want to have it when it buzzes. And if it buzzes, well, you have it, you're out, or you lose, or explodes water on you, or there's different versions of it. But I think about real hot potato, the idea of that. A potato right out of the oven that was scalding hot. And the idea is a hot potato, you don't want to sit there and hold it in your hands. And sometimes it's like us as believers, we have a hot potato in our hands. We go, oh, it's hot, hot, hot. And what you should do is what? Toss it to someone else. But we just kind of hold it. Oh, it's hot, hot. And we, you know, if it was real hot potato, we'd be blistering our hands up. What should we do? We should cast it to someone else. And that's what God's saying. Don't hold on to those fears and those things that are causing us great distress. Cast those cares on the Lord. I went to elementary school, basically first grade through eighth grade, right across the street from my church at a place called Sanders. And back in the day, before there was, you could get sued or arrested, our PE teacher let us do all kinds of stuff. We used to play kill the man with a ball. We'd have a football, and it'd be all the boys in the PE class, and one guy would have it, and all of the other ones would try to tackle him and smash him. And it was fun to get the ball, but what was a smart thing to do? Right when you know you're about to get it, you just throw it to your buddy and cast that away. Because you didn't want to get it. And that was a good strategy. But there was one bad thing. There was a kid in my class, my grade. He was a couple, actually, grades behind where he should have been. And I won't tell you his full name. His name was Randy, was his first name. It's not the pastor's brother, Randy, but it's a different Randy. And he would get the ball, and he would do something different. He would run with it, and when you started coming at him, he would run and jump up in the air like the professional wrestlers and kick you right in the chest with both his feet. So nobody wanted to, you know, tackle him because he would kick you. It was the meanest thing ever. So he wanted to hold on to the ball. I just when Randy got the ball, I just kind of stayed way back. When he gives it up, then I'll go try to tackle the next guy. But he would hold on to it. The rest of us would kind of toss it away if we could before we got hit real hard. And so many times we're about to get hit real hard in our Christian lives, and we just hold on to the ball. God says to cast it, our cares, whatever it is. You might have a care about your job, or what do you have to eat, or maybe a loved one you're worried about, whatever it might be. And instead of holding on to that care, give it to the Lord. By the way, the Lord won't drop the ball. He'll catch it every time. And many times we hold on to the hot potato instead of, hey, Lord, this is too hot for me. I can't handle this. I need you. And give that care to the Lord. I think that's what David did. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I will answer thee and show you the great and mighty things which I'll know if not. I believe one way David got through distress is he called on the Lord. Lord, what should I do? Lord, help me in this situation. And he was greatly distressed, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. He laid his burdens on God. He cast his cares. And folks, that's what we need to do. We need to cast our cares on the Lord and look to him. And when we're greatly distressed, and this time again, the pandemic time, you might be greatly distressed, pray. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for help. Humble yourself before God. And the Bible in James says, if we want God's grace, he resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You know one way you humble yourself before God? God, I need you. I can't do this in my own intelligence, my own strength, my own ability. I need you. Humble yourself before the Lord. He'll give you grace and ask him to do it. So David recalled God's promises, and there's so many of them, and they can help us and encourage us so greatly. He prayed. And lastly, he did one more thing as he worked. He worked. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Read every verse, beginning of verse 9. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and they came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, and 200 men stayed back because they were just so tired and wore out they couldn't go anymore. And they find a man who was an Egyptian, and he kind of escaped from the Amalekites, and they helped him, and he told them where they were camped at. And in verse 16 it says, and when he brought him down, behold, they were spread out upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all of the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And it says in verse 17, David smote them from twilight even unto evening of the next day. He beat the daylights out of them. Basically destroyed them. It says a few people got away. 400 of them got away. They jumped on some camels and they got away. But all the rest of them died. So what did David do when he was greatly distressed? Is he worked. In other words, he didn't give up. He could have said, well, I'm just going to lay down here and hit me with rocks. I'm tired. I can't go anymore. I don't know how this is going to get resolved. I give up. But he didn't give up. He kept going. How about you tonight? You can either give up or you can keep going. You could compromise or you could keep going. You could do nothing or you could do something. You know, there's something God has for you to do even in the midst of this pandemic. There's something for you to do. And we're going to read a verse in a moment that'll show you something that's very important, a result of encouraging yourself in the Lord. So what are you going to do? David, instead of just laying down and quitting and getting so, hey, this is still a tough situation. It's not resolved yet, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep going and I'm going to do something and I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to work and keep going. And folks, that's what will be a big help to you in this pandemic. That you need to keep going. If you know Christ, you need to keep going. Don't give up. Now, if you look to your own strength, or maybe look to the answers that men have, you just might say, I get it. There's no hope. But there's never no hope. Is that a double negative? That's probably not good. With God. God will help you. God can use you even in this pandemic time. Even if you're sick. Even if you have no job. Even if you have no money. Even if someone you know is sick and you're worried about it, keep going for the Lord. Don't give up. Don't say, well, that's it. It's just so bad and so stressful, I'm just going to give up. Be determined to keep going. And look to God to help you. Recall his promises. There's so many. Hey, I'm saved and I know it. I know I can't lose it. And God said he won't forsake me. So even though I'm in the middle of this, I know God's right there with me. He'll provide what I need. He'll give me grace because he promised to do all those things. And claim him on the promise. I don't know what to do. Ask God for wisdom. Pray. And ask God to help you. Cast your cares on him. And because he cares for you. He's right there. Whatever you're facing, God's right there with you. And he can help you through. He can give you the grace that you need. So what was the result of all that? David encouraged himself in the Lord by recalling his promises and by praying and just by keep going. What was the end result of that? Well, in verse 18, 1 Samuel 30, it says, "And David recovered all the Amalekites who carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil or anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drove before those other cattle, and said, 'This is David's spoil.'" So the blessing was he got some of his stuff back, he got his family back, and he got even beyond what he had back. Because he didn't allow this distress to get him to give up and quit. He said, "I'm going to keep going. I'm going to ask God to help me, and I know he will because he promised to." And because of that, he had a great blessing at the end of this whole situation. Would he be blessed if he quit? You know, if David would have quit, he probably would end up being stoned. He'd be dead. And much of the other things about David we would not see in his life. But he didn't quit. He did not give up. Which is better, discouragement, distress, or blessing? And that's kind of my challenge for you tonight. What would you rather have? You can be very discouraged and have great distress in your life, and you're just miserable. Or you can have God's blessing, even in the midst of that, if you just keep going. How do I keep going? Well, recall God's promises, claim God's promises, and ask him to help you. It seems like a simple formula, but it's very impactful. Psalms 40, if you have your Bible at home, Psalms 40. Psalms chapter 40, a great little passage of scripture that kind of goes along exactly what we're saying tonight. He says this in Psalms 40 and verse 1. It's a psalm of David, it says there at the top, but he says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." God waited patiently. I believe he recalled God's promises that God had made to him. Think about a promise that God had made David, that his seed would be a descendant. That he said, "Hey, I can't be stoned because God's going to carry that promise out he made to me." He waited patiently for the Lord, and then he inclined unto me and heard my cry. What was David doing? He was praying. He was asking God to help him. And look what God did. Here's the blessing. Verse 2, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of a miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." Will God help you through this pandemic time, even if you have great distress? Absolutely. If you'll encourage yourself in the Lord, if you'll recall these promises and claim them and ask God to help you and give you wisdom and give you grace, and if you'll just cast your cares on him and pray and not give up. I believe God had a big risk, and I love that. He brought me out of a horrible pit. This pandemic is a horrible pit. It is a miry clay, and people are not sure what to do. But look at verse 3. We mentioned this just a moment ago. "And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." Now notice this. "Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." You know, again, there's a world out there. There's a lot of people greatly distressed, and the majority of the world are not believers. But they're watching your life as a believer. How we react to this pandemic. Are we going to just mope around and be so distressed that we just want to give up? Or are we going to say, "Hey, God said he won't forsake me, that he won't lose me, he won't cast me out. You can be saved and know it. You can have a testimony to people that I'm saved. No, not because I'm good, because Jesus promised if I believe, I have everlasting life. He'll give you everlasting life. And they see how we look to the Lord and ask Him for help and how He helps us make it through. That the pandemic's still here. But man, look at that. Look at that Christian. Look at that person that says they know Jesus. Man, they just seem like nothing phases them. And they go right through this problem. And I love that. It says that many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You say, what can I do? How can I keep going in a pandemic? What can I do? I'm shut up in my house. Just have the right attitude. Cast your cares on the Lord. Trust Him for what He can do in your life and help you and give you grace. And that is a testimony to the lost world. It's a testimony to other believers. Many shall see it and shall trust in the Lord. You know, there's so much you can do for the Lord in this pandemic. But sometimes we're paralyzed by distress. Sometimes we're paralyzed by the difficulties of it. Well, David faced a similar situation. It said he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, you can do the exact same thing. You can encourage yourself. How did David do it? How can we do it? Well, he recalled God's promises. He prayed and he worked. He kept going. And if we'll do that, even during the pandemic, many shall see it and shall come to trust the Lord. God wants to do great things in your life. You say, what can I do right now? I can't work in Awana. I can't go to Sunday school. I can't. What can I do? You can be a testimony of how God can get you through any distress that might come in your life. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and so can you. Let's bow, and we're just going to have a word of prayer, and we'll be done for tonight. Father, help us learn from David. Father, probably the situation that we're in can't compare anything to even what David faced. Not just the fact that people talked about stoning him, but all the other pressures and things that had built, and how it was just a really hard time for him, and he was greatly distressed. And then he took the time, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. He recalled the promises God had made. He prayed and asked God what to do and asked God for help. And then he didn't give up. He worked and he followed after and was able to rescue his family, Lord, and he was greatly blessed. So, Father, help us learn from that. We're in distress. And some people might have great distress right now. Some people might have just very few worries and fears. But, Father, we don't have to have any of those things. We can take those things and give them to you. Cast our cares on you and recall what you promised to us and how even in the midst of this, you're not going to forsake us. That you'll give us wisdom, that you'll always be with us, and we can be saved and know it, and also know we can't lose it because you hold our salvation in your hand. And Father, help us be determined to keep going, even during this, that I can serve the Lord. I can be a testimony that many might see and come to trust the Lord. Again, Father, we ask you to help us through this time. Help us as a church have wisdom about what to do as far as opening church up. And Father, help us do what would please you. And Father, we again thank you for this time we can open your word. Thank you that we live in freedom so we can come even and do something that goes out and sends over the airwaves, that we can share the Bible. And Father, the Bible has the answers. So Father, help us have boldness in sharing that with others. And Father, help us always remember to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.